It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Morena, Rachel. I'm very fine, thank you very much. I had the privilege last night of listening to Neil Finn sing at a farewell for the Auckland City Missioner, and it was great being in a small room in a studio and just hearing him front up. He's done some fantastic things for the Auckland City Mission, goes down there and plays to the people that are are having a meal there, that are homeless. I've always admired him for his music, and now I admire him for the things that he's doing for people around the city that are disadvantaged. But it was a great evening.
It sounds like a very special evening indeed. We've got a few things to talk about today. Touch base on some Easter trading, conversations around Easter trading in Tāmaki, also the Australian bubble, of course, and a bit about cattle exports from our regional parks. But I think we should start with just talking about something that's been, I guess, developing over the last day on Waiheke Island. This is around the Kennedy Point a proposed marina, which is meant to be starting construction this week. There's been huge pushback from the local iwi and also from local people on Waiheke Island, particularly because this is a site where little blue penguins are known to nest. And now there has been a stop works, there's people pushing for a stop works order to go through in the meantime, but I think that this group's long-term goal is to stop the construction of that marina there in the first place. How did we get to a point where a marina has been approved for an area where there are known to be these nests, these burrows where the penguins live?
Well, it's been approved, as I understand it. I don't know much about it, to tell you the truth. It hasn't been before council, but it's been approved by an independent hearing commissioner or commissioners, and they will take into account, obviously, if it disturbs the habitat of any native species. And as I understand it, I know there's a huge debate over it both ways, but as I understand it, that there are provisions to create a new habitat for the penguins, but I can't tell you much more about that other than that's what my expectation would be, that they'd do everything in their power to protect those birds and resettle them. But as I think you said in the intro, there are people that are opposed to the marina for wider purposes, and this will be the focus of why they're saying that the work should stop now. You've got processes in place that determine whether or not a marina can or should be established, what impact it will have on the environment, etc. I would have expected that they've gone through that pretty thoroughly, and my expectation is right now that they should do everything they can to ensure that they can protect and re-establish those penguins if the marina goes ahead,
I guess,
as it appears under law to be going ahead.
I guess a major concern is that, it shouldn't be rehoming these penguins, if they're there in the first place. We're seeing reports of perhaps up to 27 burrows there, which is a significant number for what is a very endangered bird here in Aotearoa. We're also seeing frustrations reported in RNZ from Karen Saunders of Waiheke Native Bird Rescue. She's the general manager. And also some concerns from DOC as well. I mean, these are big names in conservation, big, organisations in conservation. If they're putting up flags saying this is a problem, that sounds like something we should be listening to. Do you think it's worth having a stop notice, at least for the meantime, so we can sit down and work out what's actually going on here?
Look, to tell you the truth, I'm not sufficiently over the issue to know whether that would be warranted or not. Clearly, a priority will be given. They're very special birds, the penguin, priority needs to be given to ensure their well-being. Now, whether that is how that is done, I'll leave to the conservation experts on it. But this thing has gone through a legal process, and I don't have, even if I wanted to, I don't have the power to intervene in that process. That's something that has to follow the law, that has to follow the Resource Management Act while it still exists. And, my expectation is that everything will be done possible to protect and rehome those penguins if that work goes ahead. But if there are legal grounds for stopping it, then I would expect people protesting the marina development to follow those legal avenues. It's not something that I can intervene and stop or say it should go ahead. That's done independently of council.
Okay, well, perhaps we'll touch base on this in a couple of weeks' time. But let's get back to big news. Just around the corner is the Australian travel bubble, and that's going to mean good things, hopefully, for tourism here in Tamaki Makaurau. What are you, I guess, hoping for first off the bat? What is going to be some of the things we need to put in place as well to make sure that this runs smoothly?
Well, I suppose the most important thing to ensure that it runs smoothly, Rachel, is to make sure we don't have further community transmission outbreaks of COVID-19 on either sides of the Tasman. But there is provision, should that happen, that flights would be suspended either short-term for 72 hours or for a longer time if there's a serious outbreak. And to that extent, I guess there's an element still of traveller beware in this. If you make your way over the Tasman, as I know a lot of people will want to do, and you're caught over there and you can't get back because travel is suspended, or that you may, you know, potentially be required to quarantine if you come back, then that is a risk of it. But looking on the bright side of it, I think the most important thing will be that it'll be fantastic for family and friends that haven't reunited for a long time. You know, we've got so many Kiwis over the Tasman. There's, I was just talking to a lady that I know quite well the other day. She's off on a way to Aussie this week, actually, so that she can hopefully come back quarantine-free to see her grandkids that she hasn't seen for 18 months. And, you know, on a human level, I think that's really, really important.
Absolutely.
From the viewpoint of the tourist industry, I think there's also some real potential there. That the jury's out at the moment. I've seen some hotels like the Cordis say that they've had really strong expressions of interest and bookings for May and June. To put it in perspective, in the last year that we had travel with Australia, the last full year, 2019, we got over 860,000 visitors from Australia to Auckland.
Right.
About 43% of them just visiting friends and family. They still spend money here, but their main point is, you know, to catch up. They'll stay with family, or they'll stay with friends. About 28% coming here for holiday reasons, so they're using all the commercial services that we'd want to give a boost to. And then you've got the business and the investors, important in their own right, but they're also people that will be using hotel accommodation, eating out in restaurants, etc. So we're really hoping that, one, it's good for ordinary Kiwis to meet up with their families again in both directions, but secondly, that it will give a much-needed boost to our tourist industry, and we're just waiting to see what the level of that boost may be.
How do you feel about the fact that it's not going to be mandatory necessarily for Australian travellers coming to New Zealand to download the COVID scanner? The government has been saying that this is because it's going to be quite easy to track them, have their contact details and stuff through, I guess, the airlines and things. But, you know, going day to day, heading into cafes, popping around town and stuff, would you like to see a little bit more emphasis on making sure people are using that scanner and using that app?
Yeah, well, in the same way as it is for the rest of us, it's not compulsory for us to use the scanner, but we're strongly encouraged to do so. And I hope that every arriving person from Australia gets a little note in a pack that says, please activate your Bluetooth, please use your COVID app to scan in, so that if there is any problem, we know where and how to track you. Both of those things, or just put it on Google Maps so that, you know, wherever you're going, you've got a record of where you've been. It's quite a painless way of doing it. That's what I do in addition to using my COVID app scanner. So, you know, that's really a matter of common sense, and likewise, the same rules apply. If you're feeling off colour, you're not feeling well, please don't travel in either direction, and then do all the other things that we know that we have to do to keep ourselves safe. So, you know, is it a good move? Yeah, I think it is a good move. Does it have some risk? Yeah, there's always some risk involved in it, but it's the sort of risk that we hope can be managed. And what I really hope, actually, Rachel, is that we can roll out this vaccination as quickly as we can. There's been problems on the other side of the Tasman because they were using AstraZeneca. Here we've got, you know, I heard on the radio, I think yesterday, that we've got over 500,000 doses of the main vaccine. And, you know, I'd really like to see that program run out as quickly as we can efficiently do it. I know yes. we don't have community transmission here, and therefore people aren't dying of it. They're not in hospital and IC units with it. But obviously,
it's an active immunity, process.
The better. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just touch base briefly before we run out of time, just on some comments around Easter trading, because this is something that comes up, I guess, annually when we have Easter. Last year was a bit of a blip because we weren't really having a proper holiday. Yeah. We were in lockdown. Easter trading hours is something that retailers and hospitality industry have called archaic for a long time. You've said recently that you support the way Easter trading happens here in Auckland. Why is that? And do you think there is some middle ground we can find going forward that perhaps reflects what those industries are asking for a little bit more?
Yeah, look, this has been an issue in Parliament for as long as I could remember. And finally, in 2016, government, having struggled with the issue of Easter trading for decades, handed the decision to local authorities. We considered it, we meaning the governing body of council, in 2017. And after hearing submissions on it from the public, the council has overwhelmingly voted for most shops to be closed on Easter Sunday. Now, that doesn't include, you know, your dairies or your restaurants and that sort of thing, but it does actually include supermarkets. But then they're open on the Saturday and the Monday, so it's not that people are being deprived of access to essential goods. Look, my personal view on it, we've got 365 days in a year. That's a big revelation, isn't it? Only 3.5 of those are not commercialised. And I think, you know, looking at it personally, it's not for religious reasons particularly, but Easter, just as Christmas Day, is a special time of the year. Easter is a special time of the year. And it's one of the very few times of the year when most people can share quality time with their families. And when we went out for submissions, 2-1, they were in favour of keeping Easter Sunday non-commercialised. On a public opinion poll, the wider public was more evenly divided, probably a little bit in favour of Easter shopping. Mm-hmm. But, I talked to a number of people who made submissions, and many of them were Maori, they were Pacifica, they were people whose family would otherwise have to work in the supermarkets and other shops on Easter Sunday. And they said, for heaven's sake, just please give us a couple of days in the year when, for cultural or religious reasons, this is a special time of the year and we can have some quality time with our family. And I think that's what swayed most councillors to say, look, it's not a big deal. It is 3.5 days, Anzac Day, Christmas Day, Easter Sunday and Good Friday. It's not too much to ask that we leave a little piece of our life that's non-commercialised.
Well, we might have to come back to cattle exports next week, but I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk about it then. Thank you so much for chatting to us this morning, Mayor Goff. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Thanks, Rachel. Cheers.
All right.
Bye.
Ka kite. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.